First of all, let's take you through some of the news from the world of technology with gadget detective Fevzi Turkalp. And we're going to start, Fevzi, with volunteering our phones to help to research coronavirus. How does this all fit together?
Yeah, so this is basically our phones are small computers, very powerful ones increasingly, and when we're not using them at night, they don't have much to do. And if you download an app, in this case, it's called a DreamLab app, onto your smartphone, then it means that you can allow your computer's processing power, your smartphone's processing power, to be used to help with coronavirus research. In this case, what they're doing is using digital simulations of the molecules of various foods to assess if some combination of these nutrients could offer medical benefits to treat people with COVID-19, to help prevent COVID-19, or to treat the symptoms of what they call long COVID.
Right.
So, you know how it is. If you've got like a couple of things, then there's only so many combinations of those things you can have. Mm. If you've got potentially thousands of different foods, and there can be billions of combinations. So what they do, there's no single computer that's powerful enough to solve that problem easily. So what they do is they write a program that actually gives little problems to each person's smartphone and then collates the data back in. So it will, your phone would do a few thousand calculations overnight. The only downside to use it, you know, use a little bit of energy on your end, but it's a good thing. It's not the first time this sort of thing's been done. Like there's something called SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Life, where they have to analyze the radio frequencies that come from space to see if any of it could be from intelligent life.
Mm.
And again, SETI uses this sort of model of distributed processing, where they haven't got a computer powerful enough to look at all these frequencies and analyze them for signs of intelligence. So instead, okay, people do this. So that's what it's all about. It's called DreamLab. If you want to go and do your bit, read the terms and conditions carefully. And I think it's a fun thing to do. It makes you feel like you've actually achieved something and, doing your bit, as it were.
So it's just about harnessing power as opposed to in any way being able to access anything on your phone.
Well, that's the idea. I mean, do read the what they call permissions. When you download any app, there are permissions that you give that app. That's to say, what can it access? So if it starts saying, I want to access your location or your contact list, or your camera, then you might have pause for thought. Mm. If it's not appropriate. Obviously, if it's a sat-nav app, for example, of course, it needs to access your location. If it's a game, why does it need to have your contact list, for example? So that's good advice generally, that you should always check the permissions on any app.
Okay.
And make sure that you're comfortable with them.
Okay. Let's move on to our first gadget of the week then. What are we talking about here?
So the first gadget of the week, it's from a company called Crucial, and it's called the X8 portable SSD, and I'll explain what that is. This is something like it's something the size of a thin bar of soap, if you imagine it to be like that, and it stores a huge amount of data that you could use in conjunction with a computer or an iPad Pro or a PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So all these devices have to store data. That data can be games, it can be videos, it can be photos, it can be anything. We store terabytes of data these days. Now, I was thinking of this today because Apple just launched its new range of Apple Macintosh computers. It launched a new MacBook Air and a MacBook Pro and a Mac Mini. And at the entry level, those are powerful machines that are good value for money, unusually for Apple, I would say. But the downside is that as soon as you try and upgrade the internal storage, so the amount of space there is to store things inside the computer, it goes into silly money. And that's what they do. They sort of hook you at a sort of reasonable price, but then they charge you extortionate amounts for the internal storage. And with these new Macs, you can't upgrade the internal storage unless you buy it at the outset. It's like having a car that you have to throw away once the ashtrays fill up. You can't do anything about it. I find it deeply, deeply irritating. It's bad enough that they do it with iPhones and iPads, because with the competitors' products, you can put in little cards to extend the memory. But with these Macs, because of the way that they're designed, you can't upgrade the storage. So that's it. So with this device, though, you can plug it into a Mac or indeed a PC or any other thing and expand the storage. It's extremely fast, so you won't really notice much difference between the speed of the internal storage and this storage. But to give you an example, so let's say a Mac Mini comes with 256 gigabytes of internal storage, which is, you know, adequate for some people, not for anyone at all ambitious in what they're going to do with the machine. So if you wanted to go up to, say, 2 terabytes, that would cost you, as an upgrade from a quarter of a terabyte to 2 terabytes, would cost you £800 on the Apple Store.
Yeah? Okay, yeah.
Now, if you want 2 terabytes, and this is not upgrading from a quarter because you keep the quarter inside the machine and you add 2 terabytes to it, that's £273.
Right, so that's a significant saving then, isn't it?
Yeah, it's and you don't, I mean, that's the extreme example. You don't have to upgrade to 2 terabytes, but at every storage quantity that you might choose, the saving is similarly significant. And there are benefits to having it external as well, because then this thing will pop into a shirt pocket, and then you could take it and plug it into another computer. And so you don't sometimes, like say you've got a Mac at work and a Mac at home, for example, it doesn't have to be Macs, but you could, instead of carrying the machine or having a laptop, you could just take the drive and boot it off the drive with your own operating system, applications and data and everything on it. So all the brains of it, all the things that make it your computer, are stored on this thing that's like a sliver of a bar or so.
Okay.
And, then you can transfer it.
Just very, very quickly though, where should you store something like this? Because isn't there a school of thought to say the worst possible place that you can store extra storage like this is in your home? Because God forbid anything happened to your house or you get a break-in or whatever, it's not particularly secure. Isn't that the thinking behind it?
This is an excellent question. So it depends on how you're using this. If you're using this for what I would call primary storage, that's to say the first place that you store your pictures, that's the first instance that you store it. If you make a video, that's where you store it. Then this is not backup. You can use one of these as a backup drive. You can use it in that way, in which case the answer would be you would store it at a different location. You would encrypt the data, that's to say scramble it, and then use it and then put it at a different location. So if there was a fire or a theft, because you're quite right, if someone breaks into your home and steals your laptop, and your backup drive is sitting on the same desk next to it, then you can lose both. Or if there's a fire or a flood or something, then you can lose both. So if it's a physical backup that you want, and if it's not this, then you should have a backup elsewhere. Store it offsite, scramble it, give it to, take it to work, give it to a loved one to look after for you, or use cloud storage. That's to say, store the information up in the internet on the cloud. Now, the problem with cloud storage is it's outside your personal control. So the plus side is, you know, the cloud ain't going to burn down. But it will be sitting in American computers, most likely, subject to, you know, American government wanting to take a look at it, subject to being hacked. So don't rely on them encrypting it for you, even if they say they will. You encrypt it, you scramble it yourself in a good way, and then send it up. So some combination of those things, at least 2 locations for your data.
Okay, and that will leave you in the best possible situation should anything happen, I guess. Fevzi Turkalp, gadget detective, is with us talking about the latest news from the world of tech. And your second gadget of the week is something that budding musicians will absolutely love, Fevzi.
Yeah, I would. It just makes me wish. I mean, this is for adults as well, but if I was a kid and I was given one of these, I just wouldn't go out.
Is this a hint?
I bought one of these with my own money, so that will tell you something. So this is from a company called Korg, who are well known for making synthesizers, professional level synths. They've been doing it for decades. Some of the most famous pop songs feature Korg synths. Now, this thing is a synthesizer in a kit. It's a very small device. So when you've built it, it's about the size of a smartphone, to give you an idea. And it doesn't take much to build. I mean, the circuit board is all assembled, so you don't need to solder or anything like that. And you can just assemble it with a screwdriver. But there is a certain joy to putting this thing together. You can do it, if you know what you're doing, half an hour. If you don't, maybe an hour to put it together. It's very simple, very hard to go wrong. And then the sounds that this thing makes are amazing, because they use the technology that they use in some of their expensive pro-level synthesizers.
Okay.
They put it in this sort of kit form, and it's, you know, it's not got posh knobs on it or anything like that, but it does the job. It's got a small little keyboard on it, which is, you know, you slide your finger along, think about like a stylophone, but with your finger, and you can play on it. But the sounds are pro level. It works as a professional level effects unit as well. So even if you want to feed, you know, your guitar or another instrument through it, you can do, and it's got echoes and reverbs. But I can't emphasize enough, don't think that this is like some sort of toy. You know, you could make pro music with this thing.
Right.
And you can download into it new oscillators, which means you get new sounds out of it as well.
Okay.
So it's great for tinkering with. It's called the Korg NTS-1. You can pick it up for about £80. I've given it 4.5 stars. I think it's a great gift. There's other DIY stuff. If you look on their website, you can make sort of guitar amps and other things as well. So check out the Korg website. And this is the NTS-1, 4.5 stars out of 5.
Let's just have a listen then to how it sounds. Is this one of your personal compositions, Fevzy?
No,
Fevzy,
no, I didn't want it. No, actually, mine would be... That's a bit plinky-plonky for my taste. That's straight off the Korg website, because I didn't want to run into copyright issues. But if you want to check it out on YouTube, you can see some really good examples of it. I don't think that's the best example, I have to say, but for copyright reasons, I chose that one.
Yeah.
But you can just do, as I say, incredibly amazing things with it. Can I also just say, you know, the Crucial X8 that we talked about before, that mm-hmm. was also 4.5 stars.
Okay.
And the entry-level one was just over £100.
Great stuff. Lovely to talk to you as ever, Fevzy. That's Fevzy Turkamp, Gadget Detective on BBC Radio Berkshire. Back at the same time next week.